The children's home is just a phenomenal mission of God that literally watches as God saves the lives of people. When I go to churches around our conference, almost 700 churches, it's one of the things I always talk about, the campus ministries, the camp, and the children's home. You are today a blessing to us. And if you don't, you're very close to the children's home in proximity. And so I hope you feel a great sense of joy in what is happening. I also realize, just want to say this, sometimes I'm in a church and it's as if a couple of kind of groups sort of come together. In terms of Florida, it's kind of like freshwater and seawater, how they sometimes come together. And sometimes that's kind of traditional and contemporary, or younger or older, or richer or poorer, or white and persons of color, Anglo and persons of color. I want to say to you, that is what Florida has always been. Amen? And that's what I love about Florida. Only about less than 20% of the people who live in Florida were originally from here. We've always been a state that has welcomed new people and the stranger and people who come from other places and who sound different from us. And I'll say a word about that in a moment. I also want to express my gratitude to my wife, Pam, who is here with me. She is a minister and has worked the last few years in disaster recovery and is the volunteer coordinator for our recovery from Irma, which is still ongoing. And along with that, so she works with mission teams that do work all around our state who come from all over to do that, including from here in Florida. I also want to tell just a wonderful story related to that. We have a lot of friends in the Panhandle. That's actually a different annual conference, Alabama, West Florida. They were hit by Hurricane Michael, which had the kind of the force of Hurricane Andrew. It was just a stunningly devastating hurricane that hit that coast. And often we give to UMCOR. That is wonderful, period. But one of the things UMCOR does not do is help local churches. So UMCOR does not help a local church who have a custodian or a part-time secretary or a worship leader or the pastor, or doesn't help with parsonages, doesn't help with rebuilding of church facilities or deductibles. And so we decided that we would ask our churches, and we ask you to contribute an offering toward the Alabama West Florida Conference, the Churches of the Panhandle. And we started that in September, and we received a phone call from the church in Ormond Beach, and they said, we have decided that we will match every gift up to $500,000, which really was a surprise to us, wonderful surprise. And so we let people know that. And just to announce that what happened here by the end of the year was the people of our conference have given $1.4 million to, amen? Now, this is a conference that's not our conference. This is Alabama, West Florida, the western counties of our state. You've seen those communities on television. But to me, like the children's home, it reminds me of how we're connected and what I love about being a United Methodist. I also want to say a word. Megan said that about our family, and I won't bore you with our whole family story. Amen. But I was very close to my great-grandfather, and I feel like I need to say a word about this when I was growing up. He lived in Sanford, and he would come up to spend the summer with us in Georgia. I guess to escape the heat of Sanford for the heat of Georgia. He was born here. His name was Ensminger, Fred Ensminger. His dad and uncle came here from Iowa in the 1870s when the town was starting, and they had a photography business right near the main hotel. He was the main photographer for Henry Plant. He took most of the photographs of the Spanish-American War. He took most of the photographs of Sanford. And my great-grandfather, whose name was Fred, whom I knew till I was a teenager, lived here, was born here, went to Rollins when Rollins was a school for poor people. They grew all the food, they did all the laundry, they painted all the buildings and fixed them. Then he taught at Rollins, then he went on to do a lot of other things in his life. And then in retirement, he came back to live here in Sanford with his sister, and he started the library, which is now the historical museum. He loved Sanford. He always talked about Sanford. So I've been to Sanford a few times in the 7 years we've been here, but I've not ever been to the church. But it's just a good sense of connection for me to be able to be where he was, and these streets, and his dad and uncle are buried in the cemetery here, and I just feel a sense of connection to Sanford. I want to reflect with you for a few minutes about the gospel, and tell a couple of stories and help us to engage with what maybe the Lord wants to teach us about the gift of Christmas. It's a season of gifts. I hope you had an experience of giving and receiving gifts, maybe being around a tree that's beautiful like this tree. And that spirit of gifts and being around the tree reminded me of a couple of stories from our life. Years ago, our family, my wife Pam and I and our two daughters, lived in a suburban neighborhood. And everyone in the neighborhood was new. The neighborhood had just been built. And we knew some of our neighbors very deeply. Some of them were a part of the church. But we didn't know all of our neighbors. Next door to us on one side was a wonderful family. But we did not speak their language, and they did not speak our language. We smiled and waved every time we saw each other. Mostly, we just drove into our garages, and the door came down behind us, and they did the same thing. Well, on Christmas afternoon, Pam had made something really delicious, and we had an abundance. And she said, "Why don't you take this over to our neighbors for Christmas?" And so I did. I knocked on their door, they opened it, they received it with a smile and with grace. Then they closed the door, and I walked back across the yard to our house. Then a few minutes later, there was a knock on our door. And I went to open it, and there were our neighbors with a gift for us. I smiled, I thanked them, I received it, we said goodbye. And then they return to their home. That was the first experience. The second experience is from my childhood in South Georgia. We grew up on the edge of the city, in the country, really. My mother, aunt, and uncle, and their children, our cousins. And we gathered at my grandparents' house. My grandfather, whose dad was from here. Every year we gathered at their house on Christmas Eve for a meal and to exchange presents. And from a child's perspective, it was just a glorious evening. It was just the best night of the year. Now, my mother was a teacher, a school teacher. And we always lived on the edge financially. I remember just being a child, my mother bringing gifts home from the school where she taught, gifts that families had given to her for being the teacher of their child. And I remember her rewrapping them and our loading those same gifts into the car. And they became the gifts that we gave to everyone in our extended family. I didn't think anything about this. I just thought, this is great. As I said, it was a glorious evening. And we were in this castle that was the home of our grandparents. It was just like a castle. Years later, just many years later, I came across a picture of my grandfather and all of us grandchildren sitting in front of the tree. And as I looked at that picture, it was a very small and frail pine tree. And behind this pine tree was a cinder block wall. That was the wall of my grandparents' house. It was much more modest than I remembered it. What was going on? It was not so much about what we gave each other. It was simply that we were together. Amen? Now, the first story I told you is how we do something for other people and how they do something for us. But the second story is about being with others. And being with is the core of the Christmas story. In the Gospel of Matthew, Joseph has a dream that Mary would give birth to Jesus. And this was to fulfill the word of the prophet. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And at the beginning of the scripture that Megan read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then a few sentences later in that same passage, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Eugene Peterson, who translated the scripture into the Message, translates that verse, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Moved into the neighborhood. Christmas is about presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. But it's much more about presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. All through the scripture, there is this thread of this good news. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God and they will be my people, Ezekiel. I am with you always, even to the end of the world, Matthew. The dwelling of God is with men and women. God will be with them. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Revelation. The key word is with. Turn to the person beside you and just say that word to them. With. With. Now, with, I realize, is not so easy in our nation at this moment. We have divisions. We are suspicious of people. We label people. We have agendas. We think people have agendas. We wonder, what is their agenda? The with is always something we really want to think about. In social media, we can make statements about the poor. which is easier than being with someone who is poor.
Come on.
In charity, we can send financial gifts to the poor, and that's wonderful. We need to do that. But again, to spend time with the poor, to spend the night with a homeless person. The last church I served had a homeless shelter inside the church. There were always 20 homeless people sleeping in our church every night of the year. Or to share a meal with a person who is hungry. Or to give medical care to a person who is ill. This requires more of us. This is what with means. And this is what God does in our lives. God is, the gospel says, God is with us. God could have made a statement about us. God could have given us some sign in the natural world. God could have kept his distance from us and remained detached like an idea. But God shows up. That's what Christmas means. God shows up. Someone said 80% of life is just showing up. Amen? Or to say it another way, God is all in. You ever heard someone say that? I'm all in. In sending Jesus into the world, God is all in. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's the core affirmation of Christmas. That's the big idea of Christmas. The Word became flesh and blood. God becomes a person, a human being, a baby, and lives among us, becomes like us. People have often asked me, what is distinctive about being a Methodist, being a Methodist Christian? And at this time of the year, I think of the hymns, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, Charles Wesley hymn. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, a Charles Wesley hymn. And that line, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us, in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word moved into the neighborhood. That's what Christmas is. God with us. Years ago, I heard a story, and it's a story about a rabbi who moves into a small village. And every Friday morning, the rabbi would disappear. The villagers, the people who lived in the village and people who live in small towns talk to each other, amen? The people who lived in the village began to talk to each other. And a topic of conversation was, what is the rabbi doing when he disappears every week? Some people were curious, some people were skeptical, some people had theories. One skeptic decided that he would figure it out. And so, hearing this story, he decided that he would follow the rabbi when he disappeared 1 week. So one Friday morning, the observer posted himself near the rabbi's house. He watched the rabbi rise, say his prayers, and put on the clothes of a peasant. He saw him take an axe and walk into the forest and cut down a tree. and gather bundles of wood. Next, the rabbi proceeded to a shack in the poorest part of the community where an elderly woman lived with her sick son. The rabbi deposited the wood, which was enough for a week, and then quietly returned to his own home. The story concludes that this person stayed in the village and became a disciple of the rabbi. And whenever he would hear someone in the community saying, "I wonder what our rabbi does on Friday," he would say, "On Friday, our rabbi ascends all the way to heaven, if not higher." In Christmas, we celebrate the good news that God is with us. We exchange presents. If we're really blessed, we get to spend time with people we love, people who love us. And if we are aware of it, we sense that at Christmas, the importance is to be with others. To be with others. Christmas is not so much a season about our doing things for other people, or even God doing things for us. Christmas is about God being with us and our being with each other in His name and in His Spirit. And so what matters are the people who surround us, those who enter our doors and who sleep under our roofs and who sit at our tables, the people we remember who are not with us, and the homecomings, as messy and as complicated as they are. Amen? Christmas is about the extraordinary risk God took to take on our nature, to enter this complicated and messy world in the form of this fragile child. So I invite us in this coming year not just to settle for doing things for each other, just transactions. You do something for me, I'll do something for you. But in this year, to declare our intention to be the people of Emmanuel, God with us. Because God is with us, we can be with each other. And in Christ, God is with all people. And this is enough of the story. This sermon is long enough. Amen? This is enough of the story for today. It's not the whole story, which is why Christmas is a beginning. And we're going to move on toward Epiphany and Lent and Easter. But this is enough of the story for today if we get that big idea. It's sufficient. There is more. This child's going to grow up and call disciples and heal people and teach people. And there's even more than that. And you may think you know this story. I may think I know all of this story. But you know, we need to hear this story again and again because we change. And we don't really know the whole story. But all of that will unfold this morning as Christmas. To rejoice that God is with us is enough. And to rejoice that we are with each other is enough. Amen? Amen. Let's bow for prayer. We thank you, God, for the light that has come into the world in Jesus. For the light that is the life of all people. We thank you for that life we see in every person worshiping in this space. We thank you for calling us to be with each other rather than being somewhere else alone where we could have been. We're here with you and with each other. Help us to see each other as gifts, and help us, no matter how long we've been a Christian, to realize that this is purely your gift to us, Jesus. And if we've never trusted you to be our Savior, Lord, let today be that day of new birth. Speak to one of the pastors or the chaplain. And just simply say, you know, I want to trust Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to accept this gift you've given me. I never really have. I want to do that today. We thank you for the joy that has come into the world in Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.